These people don't right now. All right, guys, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. We had really great weather here in New York. Really hot weather, and I love it like that. Just don't like the humidity, but it's been good. Hoping for some thunderstorms from all this heat, but not this weekend, though, because I'm going camping. So I had the wedding over the weekend, and I can finally tell you guys what I've been working on that's been taking up my entire social life. Not that I had one to begin with anyway, but I made this gigantic dream catcher, and I drilled holes in a whole bunch of tumbled crystals and stones. I got 106 of them, but I didn't drill holes in every single one of them, just towards the end. About 30 of them I ended up not drilling holes in because they were just so hard. It took like an hour of stone for some of them. So it looks like my Facebook Live video might be having a little bit of audio problems, but if you can't hear it there, you'll always catch the podcast as it uploads, and I know I'm moving it around a lot too.
Or they can go to SaratogaBroadcasting.com right now, and it's live on there.
Yes, it's also live on SaratogaBroadcasting.com. You guys have so many ways to watch, to listen at convenience. And that's what the main point of the show is, to make it super accessible to anybody that wants to listen. So I got all these tumbled stones, and I picked them out based on their metaphysical properties and some of them, their looks. And what the dream catcher, so this was a wedding gift. And the dream catcher represented these two people coming together in the most spiritual way possible. Dream catchers are very spiritual. And it took these stones and their metaphysical properties, what I wish into their new life together. And some of them are stones that relate to either one of them separately. And it's their personalities coming together into one dream catcher. And so the dream catcher probably took about 200 hours, if not more, because I also did like this little PowerPoint thing that I wanted to turn into a book, but I ran out of time. And so I wrote down all of the metaphysical properties of each individual stone and why I picked it, and took pictures of all of them too. Like I took pictures and then numbered them and then went through the list of what they were and what they meant. And so it was a really, really meaningful gift to me. Not something that you can get on the Target registry.
No.
This commercialized age of weddings has become. And that correlates with what I believe in with marriage and weddings too. I don't believe in this like commercialized idea that's happened to it, that it's more about the party and it's not about the coming together of families.
The $50 a plate.
Right.
Wedding dinner and
venues and stuff, and it's not about helping me buy all the stuff I need for my house. It's about showing up to celebrate the coming together of these two families that I love so much. So that's how I feel about it, and so I was hoping this gift was showing the more like spiritual true meaning of their wedding and their marriage. And so they really, really liked it a lot more than I thought they might like it, but they really liked it. And the first thing they said to me was, "Shannon, how do you have the time?" I said, "I don't."
Yeah, that's right.
I just make it. I don't have the time. I make the time.
I feel sorry for him though, because if she ever gets mad at him and hits him over the head with that thing, he's a goner.
Yeah, it's kind of heavy.
Oh dear.
So it was really rewarding to see everybody enjoy the gift and tell me how good it came out. And someone said, look like you've been weaving dream catchers your whole life. Who knows? I do have a little bit of Native American in me. Maybe I was a dream weaver in another life.
Could be.
It was pretty simple to do the weaving, but it was not a simple project by far. It was frustrating. Took a lot of time and took a few tears when I got frustrated and a little bit of anger here and there. A little bit of fun picking out the stones. Sometimes drilling the holes was pleasant when they were cooperating with me. But in the end, it was all worth it. If I had to do it again, I would.
That's a more meaningful gift.
It is. I mean, it's something that's they're always going to have to look at.
It's neat when you make something and it's more special.
Right.
Yeah.
And so... I'm just glad that it came out good and that I have more free time, although I feel like I don't because I've been filling that free time with other things.
But, you know, I got something written in big letters here. No social life. You're probably the busiest girl that does things on the weekends. I know you work really crazy during the week, but, I mean, you're always going to fun things for your weekends and stuff. So
yeah, when I can.
Yeah, when you can, I know.
And then if I'm not doing other stuff, I'm reading about current events.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, man, I'm just having a hard time with this video thing over here. It's all right, though. So last week, I was going over stuff that you guys sent me, and I didn't get through all of it, but I wanted to continue going over it. Oh, and side note, somebody that I went to high school with messaged me the other day, somebody that's not like really interested in politics at all or hearing about current events, or at least not when we were in school that I remember, didn't really care about school too much. Who knows, could be a lot different now, but he sent me a message the other day, said, hey, I listened to some of your show and it was, a lot of it was spot on and it was really, really good, and so I'm gonna listen to more. And that was really touching to hear somebody that's never really been intrigued in certain aspects of learning things. But maybe I've been saying these few shows that he heard things that he's always believed in and never heard other people talk about. And so he's like, oh, well, this is probably interesting. I don't know. Maybe that's his thought process. But he did contact me and tell me that it was really good and that he wants to listen to more. So
that's nice.
That was good to like touch somebody that I didn't think would even be interested. And so I love hearing people say that. So if this is your first time listening, let me know. Let me know what you think. And so I wanted to get back to try to finish up the stuff that you guys sent me. And I believe I started talking about the Supreme Court cracking down on government snooping through cell phone data. We talked about, I may repeat myself a few times here, but we talked about the sneak peek acts under Obama and post 9/11, all the privacy acts that enabled them to breach our privacy, and which is intruding on our rights because we have the right to privacy of our personal properties, and our cell phone data and stuff like that is definitely our own personal property. But so the justices ruled 5-4 that police need a warrant to access data from mobile service providers that show where an individual has traveled over weeks, months, or even years. And this is huge because I haven't needed a warrant for this stuff post 9/11. It's just been, they go on an instinct and they can grab it. And once they have it forever, that they don't have to get rid of it. And so they have tons of information on practically anybody.
But, you know, you talk about those phone calls. The NSA just issued a directive that they have to get rid of, I don't know how many millions of phone calls. Because a lot of the information on there could be confidential, top secret information, and they don't want it to fall into hands. So they're going to get rid of a ton of personal phone calls that people. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
The less, and here again, have, that's Trump.
I mean, he's doesn't believe in that. So he's making them get rid of a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this is a really, really good step that we're going in. that we're starting to get back towards individual privacy. It's really, I know a lot of people put out these sneak peek warrants. They say, oh, but it's in the interest of the country. It's for our freedom. And no, you don't sacrifice freedom to gain freedom, because you're taking away a little, or you're taking away a lot of freedom to gain a little bit. And it doesn't even help you gain a little bit. It's kind of like the TSA, the airports.
Yeah.
That's what they're called, the TSA. I don't know. I've never flown commercially.
Right.
So I've never been through this stuff. No, I only took that little airplane ride.
Okay.
So I've never been through like baggage checking or anything like that. Because
there's a story about that too that just came out.
They're banning more things that you can take.
That's right. And you have to have now an enhanced driver's license to fly out of New York into other states, which is about $85. It's like the next step down from a passport.
You might as well just get a passport.
And they said you can travel between Canada and Mexico with it. You don't need a passport, just this enhanced driver's license, because you don't even have to take it out of your wallet. They can scan it.
Yeah.
So it is a good thing to have.
Well, the way I feel about it is the TSA 90% of the time doesn't even find harmful things. They get by them. So, yeah. I mean, if they're 10% effective, they're a waste of time and taxpayer money to have if they're not saving us.
Right. You know, we went to Canada once on a bus, and they pulled the bus over to do a spot check. Mm-hmm. And the only one they took off the bus was like an 80-year-old woman who was with the group. And I mean, how do you pick out an 80-year-old woman
to take somebody, right?
Bring her in the office. Yeah.
Take somebody. And
I don't know, a pat down or something. I don't know. But it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's just, I just don't understand how we have a 10% efficiency rate and still keep it in place. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
No.
It doesn't make sense at all. So, Supreme Court's cracking down on government snooping through cell phone data, and I think it's a great step in the right direction. Of course, there's a lot, many more steps that need to be taken. But talking about steps in the right direction, the FDA is finally coming around. They approved the country's first medicine made from marijuana. If a federal agency is approving a medical marijuana medicine, medicine made from marijuana, how can you have another federal agency, the DEA, outlawing the use of the thing that made this medicine? It's a contradiction. It creates a lot of issue. And how can you have a federal ban? How can this be a classified drug, illegal drug? So, I feel like we're going to see some big, big changes nationally, not even just like state by state. There's going to be some really big changes coming up fast. This is really big to the industry, and it's really going to hurt Big Pharma and the opioid issue. It's going to help the opioid issue. It's going cut down on it so much. And this drug, it's called Epidiolex, I believe, if that's how you say it right. It's made of CBD oil, and CBD oil is taken from hemp plants, which don't contain THC, which is the chemical that would get you high if you were using marijuana. It doesn't contain THC, so you're not getting any of the so-called high effects, but you're getting all the medical properties of it and of the marijuana plant. And there's just a huge, huge list of, we've gone over it before, there's a huge list of benefits from this. And it's a truly great alternative to opioids, which is actually funny because to, I mean, not funny, but it's funny that I saw something today that relates to this topic. I saw a commercial on a video, on a YouTube video. I was trying to show my boss today because he didn't know the IDK My BFF Jill commercial from the Singular cell phone commercial with when unlimited texting came out because her daughter was spending too much money texting. And she was, so the little girl was just talking in all like abbreviations.
Oh, geez.
And it was super funny. He didn't know it, so I had to show him. Anyway, the commercial on that was a medicine to help alleviate the side effects of opioids. So, wait, if you just wrap that around your head, we have so many people on opioids and getting these terrible side effects and getting hooked on them and then having withdrawal symptoms that we need to create this other medicine. This is just how they make more and more money. Mm-hmm. They get all these people hooked on this thing and then it's like, oh, you're experiencing X, Y, and Z with this drug. Oh, well, here's another drug to help you with that.
Yeah, I know.
I saw it and I just laughed so hard. I'm like, you can't be serious. So that was what related today that I thought that I had to tell you guys about. So anyway, the Food and Drug Administration on Monday, well, this article came out June 25th, so it's a little old. And current news-wise, because we're in such an instant technology age. The Food and Drug Administration approved the country's first drug derived from marijuana, a medicine that treats two rare and devastating forms of epilepsy, which is great. There's a lot of children that suffer epilepsy. So the drug is made of CBD oil, a component of marijuana that does not give users a high. It's given as an oil. And in clinical trials, it was shown to reduce the number of seizures by about 40% in patients with Dravet or Lennox-Gastaut syndromes. I don't know. Nina, if you're watching this, you're a doctor. You can tell me how to pronounce these things. So anyway, this approval serves as a reminder that advancing sound development programs that properly evaluate active ingredients contained in marijuana can lead to important medical therapies. FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb said in a statement, and the FDA is committed to this kind of careful scientific research and drug development. The FDA's decision was expected. FDA officials had indicated they supported approving Epidiolex, and an advisory panel had unanimously recommended it get the green light. There was some concern about the drug's effect on the liver, like most drugs and alcoholic products. If you drink alcohol, I mean, you're choosing to deteriorate your liver. There's a lot of things that do that. But experts have said this risk could be addressed by doctors as they monitor their patient during the treatment. Before this can market, the Drug Enforcement Administration will have to reclassify CBD, which in this case, because it comes from marijuana, is considered a Schedule 1 drug. So, I mean, the FDA finally, after all these years, admits that there's medical advantages to this, and now they have to get the DEA on board. The agency is expected to do so within 90 days. That's pretty soon. We're going to see some big changes pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's good. It's another step towards a freer society. And I highly believe there's going to be a lot of medical advancements.
Yeah.
I know they can help cancer patients with pain too. And I mean, there's just so much we don't know about it still because it's been so hard to research on it.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's this whole world of unknown with it. And it's going to be good to see what comes out of it.
Because so many people are afraid to take the oxycodone or that if they have an operation because they don't want to get hooked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to not, you know, have that pain taken away and then keep going. And I know when I've taken it, you know, I just go until like it's not unbearable, and then I just go right on Tylenol and that, because first of all, it makes you feel lousy to me. I mean, all I want to do is sleep, so it's like doesn't do anything.
Yeah, and they have bad side effects.
Yeah, and but I, you know, I can see where people, just like everything else. I mean, I went to buy Gorilla Glue at Walmart's the other day, and the light went around, the red light on the register, and they had to come over and check my ID to make sure I was old enough to buy Gorilla Glue. But
you were
that's
at a self-checkout?
Yeah.
Yeah.
but that's what we've come down to now.
Right.
And, I mean, there's just people that can't help themselves. And
it's just crazy. Like, natural selection, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I hate to say that, but, you know, your hot coffee's going to be hot. When,
right, and if you drop it on your lap, whose fault is that? The the stores or you for dropping it?
Yeah, or drinking it too soon.
Always blame it on somebody
natural
else.
Natural selection. Yeah. If people can't survive without all these warning labels and checkpoints, and I mean, so the state likes to try to protect you from you, and it's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I wonder,
I mean,
how many,
much more till they put us in a bubble and we start
right.
rolling around.
How many I wonder how many of us could have lived like 150 years ago, you know, or 200 years ago. How would we have made it?
Oh,
through
especially
life?
My age. Yeah. Like people my age.
I mean, you know, there was nothing. I mean, I don't know. It's like and like you say, when anything happens, the government takes control of it, so
almost immediately.
Immediately, right? So anything good ends up being either taxed by the government or controlled by some agency, and
or people cry out to the government and right. say, "Oh, you need to step in. Oh, we need your help."
Oh yeah. Well, that's how the
and they're gladly going to come in and do something.
Oh my gosh!
More
yeah.
power, yeah. Please.
People want, you know, well, we'll get to that later. Yeah, but that's how it is, you know. I don't think many people today could have survived 200 years ago the way the pioneers did.
No.
I mean, it's just awesome how they made the country, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer in natural selection, and I say it all the time.
Yeah, you do.
I think Darwin was onto something there. So this medical marijuana, they got a FDA says it's good. They got to get the DEA on board with it. And if not, this is going to be a huge battle of who does the federal government follow, the FDA or the DEA? They're both government they're both government agencies or whatever you want to call them. And I mean, you can't have federal agencies saying one thing and then the other saying the next. So mm-hmm. Gotta get rid of that contradiction. So I don't think I brought this up to you guys. I think this is something I said before we went live last week to Rick. I was like, hey, did you hear that this Democratic congressman introduced a bill for taxpayers to subsidize living expenses in D.C. for House representatives? Like, even just forget Democratic. Like, doesn't even matter anymore if we're talking Democratic or Republican.
Right.
Both parties are completely off their party line. They're working in cahoots. They're both attacking from the middle. They're really just together. It doesn't, neither of them are what they say they
right.
are anymore.
What their ideologies used to be. I mean, I read a quote from John F. Kennedy the other day. It was on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it. And it said, you know, we have to stop being Republican and we have to stop being Democrats and start being Americans.
Right.
And,
right.
And I mean, if you go back and look at his speeches and, you know, the things that he said, you would never believe that. You would think that he was a conservative and, you know, his family was liberal, you know. But back in his day in the 60s, he had a totally different view of what the United States was. And it doesn't fall in line with what today's Democrats do. And he very smart, very interesting speeches that he gave. And I thought that one quote, it just was amazing, you know, and I wish these people today would understand it, but they, you know,
yeah,
they're so far off the line.
Being American, I mean, this even relates to yesterday, 4th of July. Yeah, happy 4th of July, guys. Yeah, really. Yesterday was 4th of July. Hope you all saw the fireworks.
But 80 people at the Saratoga Battlefield took their oath to citizenship. And they interviewed one in the paper today, and he was so happy. There were quite a 2,000, quite a few people out there too to watch it. And he said he was so happy that he went through the process, and he was so glad to be an American citizen, and he's going to be an American. And this went on all over the country. Each, you know, kind of historical place swearing citizens, that came in the right way, you know. But so, and that's what 4th of July is about. I mean, you know, our independence from England, but it's a day we celebrate two people that become
Americans. Right.
And
I think I've been to the battlefield once. I took a field trip there because it was a huge win in the revolution. And it very not undermined. What's the word? What's that word for unrecognized? Not unrecognized.
You mean that it's not recognized for what it is?
Yeah, like I mean it doesn't get enough.
Saratoga. It doesn't give a recognition.
Enough recognition as it That's should. Right. But we took a field trip there one time when I was in the fourth grade, and I got a picture of me with like some kind of hat. With a gun. Like, I've always been born to be a rebel of the government.
Oh, you were a red coat?
No.
Oh, you okay. You're no. a colonial follower. It's yeah. Beautiful out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
My gosh. Rolling hills, and you can imagine the battle that they fought out there.
Yeah, it is beautiful out there. Oh, it was a good field trip. So, as crazy as it sounds, I mean, it does sound crazy. We do have a congressman introducing a bill for taxpayers to subsidize living expenses in D.C. I saw that and was almost on the floor laughing. I mean, these things are just so absurd to me now, and that this is serious news to these people. This is like something that they think is okay to bring up. Yeah, let's just how do you guys feel about paying for us to live here when we don't do anything in your interest?
Right.
To begin with.
Why doesn't government build housing for them, like one-bedroom apartments, you know?
Well, even if they did, that would be our money.
Oh, I know. I know.
It just grinds my gears. You know what grinds my gears? Do you watch Family Guy?
No.
No? I never did, and then I did one time, and just watched all the seasons, and Peter Griffin had this what grinds my gears thing through a few of the episodes. He'd be like, you know what grinds my gears? And he talked
about
good,
something. That's a good thing.
What so, grinds my gears. This is what grinds my gears. Congressman asking for us to pay for their living expenses. Why don't you pay for my living expenses?
Really? And they don't even work there year-round.
No.
You know?
But no, nobody should be paying for your living expenses. You should be paying for your living expenses.
Sure.
And I mean, you want to be a congressman and live there, so figure out how to pay for it. I'm sure you get paid enough.
Oh, I'm sure.
You get paid well enough.
You hear some of them cry like, oh, I have to set up a cot in my office and sleep because I can't afford the rents in
you chose
D.C.
It.
I know. That's what you wanted to do.
You decided to live there. I mean, D.C., I've been to D.C. once, and it made me feel, I don't know why, it's just such a political area, and there's so much power there that when you're there, you feel different.
Yeah.
You feel like you're around where everything is centered, because it is. That's where everything is centered.
Right.
But it's just, I don't know how to put it into words, you get this feeling when you're in D.C. of, like, importance and stuff, and I guess that's probably why a lot of people like to live there, but it's really not a great place to live. It's outrageously expensive. There's so much crime. Once I found out how much crime was there, I'm like, why would anyone want to live here?
Yeah. I've never been.
No?
No, never been.
Oh, it's really nice. You should go in like April when the cherry blossoms really? Bloom. They have a whole bunch of cherry blossom trees. I want to do some of the, those museums.
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
Like the Natural Museum of History. Then they have the Smithsonian Institute. Yeah.
They have a Holocaust museum that I would like to see, but I've heard it's really, really difficult to get through.
Oh, really?
I heard that.
Oh, because it's so
like
bad.
It's extremely emotional.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to see a lot of the museums down there. All right. Speaking of DC, speaking of power and, we have this, Democratic Socialist that just ran in the New York, congressional primary, and she won. This 28-year-old Democratic Socialist, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So before anyone jumps down my throat, I'm going to talk about what I like. And I know you're going to say, Shannon, a socialist, what could you like about her? Trust me, it's not her policies. It's not her platform. It's not what she stands for. What I like is how she went against the establishment, odds completely against her, in a fashion that we haven't seen in a long time. And she uprooted a 10-term congressman out of the primary. And I mean, she still has to run in the election and everything, but she totally won against by a landslide too.
Right.
But
that's a totally Democratic area. So she's about guaranteed to win. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. But it's crazy that, I mean, Democrats are going to stick with Democrats, but I mean, even Democrats are kind of scared of socialists.
You
throw socialism in there, they're like, no, that's too far left. We got to maintain a firm line between that. They really don't, though, but they hate having the word socialism in there, thrown in there. But I think it shows a lot about what you can really do. That people are fed up so much with mainstream, the Democrats and the Republicans, that you get, this is why I think she won. She's young, A. People are tired of seeing these old people running this country of young people and new ideas and just more different ways of viewing the political scene and society as a whole. And they're sick of these older people running them. And so she was a lot younger. She was, Latina? She's Latina.
Yes, Latino, yep.
And so people are sick of old white people running and having power. And I mean, I understand that. If something's not working, try something different, right? So different.
Hey, primaries are good. Really. I mean, she even said that nobody's primaried him in the 10 terms.
Right.
Well, you know what? Sometimes primaries are good and gives people a chance in your own party to pick somebody that you may, you know, think is a little better than the person in there.
Right. And I think she is very, very, very different than people that have been running and are in office currently. And that's appealing to a lot of people because everyone's just so sick of what we have right now. And she also got a lot of young voters. She got people to turn out. I heard her talking. I was listening to Dave Smith's Part of the Problem. He had an episode on her. And so then I started doing some research on her. He played a clip where she was talking about how she got somebody that came to her and was like, I just voted for you. I'm 19. And it was my first time I ever voted. And so it's a off-year election primary race, and he's voting for somebody running for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy to hear someone that's 19 that you wouldn't think would even be interested in or even know that there was an election going on. And so, I mean, she's getting people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a good thing, getting people aware that there's these voting processes that happen other than just the presidential election that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And getting them to research and find out what's going on around them, who's running for what, and try to help them start thinking about their ideology at a young age. So I think there's a lot of great things to come out of this race that she had. She did a lot of like grassroots campaigning, going door to door. It really was a good way to show that if you really believe in something, you don't have to do this whole big business campaign funding through corporations, and you can be the underdog and still come out on top. And now we just got to get the right people in there doing it.
No, you're right.
And you're
right. But I'll tell you, I did hear her interviewed, and there was another socialist college professor.
Mm-hmm.
She was young. I mean, I'd say she was in her 30s. And her idea, which this congresswoman kind of agreed with, is that they want to tax the top 1%, 90% of their income.
That's ridiculous.
90%. So, the interviewer said, well, why do you want to tax somebody 90% of what they make? And she said, well, we want to tax 90% of their income and 90% of any capital gains that they make off of their investments. So he goes, well, what would you expect to do with the money that you make? And they said, well, the government would, it would go to the government to help people.
Just give the government create, your money. That sounds so well, good.
That's right. And to help people and create programs. So he said, well, we got enough programs to help people. And he says, and I give enough to, we pay like 30 some percent in taxes now. And so he said, as a college professor, he said, you come from a wealthy family, don't you? And she said, yes. And he said, well, do your parents donate the difference between their tax bracket and the 90%? And she goes, well, no, but we give a lot to charities. So he goes, well, then that's what people should do with their money. And that's right. What you've been saying
that,
right in the beginning. That
people that want to be charitable are going to be charitable.
That's right. And she said, and I give, so he said, well, what about you? You make a really good salary because you give speeches in that. Do you pay 90%? She says, no, but I donate to charities. And he said, well, I think you should donate. I think you should give 90% of what you make to the government. And she goes, well, I don't know how to do that. And he said, well, it's simple. When you do your taxes, you at the rate that you pay, deduct, let's say it comes to 40%. All right, then take another 50% of your salary and send a check to the IRS. They'll take it. She didn't want to hear. She kept like getting off the subject then.
Yeah. And
they don't know what they're talking about.
No, that sounds so great.
Yeah.
To them in their head. And it helps them when, I mean, they have this, I'm not trying to stereotype, but a lot of socialists, followers are poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sounds great, tax the rich so they can give us some money and we can all be equal. Doesn't sound that sound like a great place to live?
Yep.
It's not, because socialism is not the people getting richer, it's everybody being poor.
Mm-hmm.
And the government being rich.
That's right. No, that's
that's
it.
What happens.
Well, look at all the other countries that are socialist countries. The money's controlled by a few.
And not everybody's equal, and not everybody is born to be equal. And it's up to you if you're not already at a certain level of wherever your family that you were born into is. It's up to you to get yourself out of that. It's not up to anybody else or the government to pull you out of that. I mean, you should, you can go find a job. You can go find a job. You can work lots of jobs until you get financially where you want to be and work your way up. I mean, not everybody's born at the same rate on the ladder. It's your determination that's going to determine how far you climb up it.
Well, you have the American ideal of what it was even 150, 160 years ago, that you can do anything you want, and you can work, but you have to work for it.
Yeah.
You can be anybody you want. You can do whatever you want. You want to start your own business. You want to work hard in it. You can make money. If you want to be president of the United States, then you
go
know the
it,
path,
you,
right? You know the path you have to take, and you can go for it.
And it's not going to be fair for everybody, but life isn't fair at all.
Right.
It's not made to be fair. I mean, some people are better at math than other people, and it's not fair to those that aren't good at math. But if you want to, if you enjoy doing it and you want to be a mathematician, but you're not good at it, you have to work harder.
Right.
To do it, but you can get there. You can get yourself to be good at math. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. It's how much you want it. And so, I mean, socialism, as much as a utopia as they like to make it sound, it really isn't, because putting everybody as a quote equal, what does that even mean? A,
right.
It doesn't really, it just makes us all poor. It puts us all at the bottom.
That's right.
We can't go up. And the government's always going to be at the top.
Or, you know, it may not even be the government. It may be the people that's running it.
Right.
That
the people
are making
the
money. And, I mean, it's like Mexico. I mean, Mexico is a dirt poor country, except for the people that are running the country. I mean, they're multimillionaires. They take all the money. I mean, we can see what happened in Puerto Rico, our own
Commonwealth.
One of our commonwealths. I mean, they had the hurricane. We sent all this money down to them to fix their infrastructure. And what happened?
They still don't have power.
And the government and the governor and took the money. That these people split the money up. And the people are even saying that. I mean, the some of the politicians down there are blaming us because we're not doing enough. But then there's a lot of people saying, well, our government officials kept the money. They didn't use it for what it was for. So, and that's what happens. I mean,
right.
It's terrible. And who suffers? The people.
The people do. I heard the other day, I forgot who said it, they said the only thing that comes out of socialism is starvation and breadlines. Starvation and breadlines.
You're right.
And super high inflation. And that's true. We see it all the time all over the world. So this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she's a democratic socialist, whatever that even means, because they're two completely different things.
And she couldn't explain it on the show.
No, she couldn't.
She couldn't explain it.
Dave Smith had it on his podcast. He had the clip.
The YouTube thing?
Yeah, where she, democratic socialism means to me that...
And that was it. And then she totally said, they said, well, she didn't explain on YouTube. You know, you could see the show she was on and the clip from it. And all the comments were, but wait a minute. She didn't explain what that meant. She just kept going round and round.
Right. And so I have pulled up here her platform, which is just ridiculous. Okay. We've got a few minutes to go through this. Medicare for all. What does that even mean? I mean, okay, Medicare is a, it's like Medicaid for older people, right?
Medicare is, yeah, Medicare, when you turn 65, it's a supplement for insurance,
mm-hmm.
All right? But Medicaid is what people that need help, you know, insurance. If they don't have it, they get it through your county, social services. But I mean, Medicare really doesn't give you, you need a drug plan with it. And I mean, that's why people have, there's Part B, Part C that you have to pay for. So I don't think she knows what she's talking about.
No, Medicare for all. I mean, that's kind of like some kind of universal healthcare plan. And I mean, that's we talked about healthcare and how it looks in a free market, and that's a better a way to go about healthcare than say, oh, this for everybody.
Right.
It's like Oprah. She's Oprah over here. You get Medicare. You get Medicare. You get
yeah, right, right.
Look under your seat. There's
it's like Ellen DeGeneres too. You know, yeah. I'm giving away 1,000 iPads today.
This is exactly what her platform is like. A federal jobs guarantee. Guaranteed by the government that you can have a job. A federal jobs guarantee. And oh, she has descriptions for all of these on here. She's so thorough. I should have read the Medicare for All thing to you, but we can dive into this more next week too. So we'll just quickly go through her things and then we'll dissect it next week. A federal jobs guarantee. The government's going to guarantee you a job. That I mean, she is a socialist. I was just about to say, sounds a lot like socialism.
Yeah.
Go figure, because it
is. I know. Gee.
These are immigration justice, abolish ICE. Okay, that's something that I can agree with, abolishing ICE.
See, I don't agree with that.
I know you don't.
Because I just want to tell you some things that I had on my show last Saturday when we had our guest on and we got talking about eliminating ICE and it's not relevant anymore. And just in 2017, I want to read to you some of the things they did in New York. Okay. It amazed me when I found out, and this is in addition to all the other things that they do with arresting immigration felons, you know, illegal felons. If I can get this thing down, let's see. All right. Fentanyl.
Mm-hmm. Fentanyl.
The fentanyl. They, let me see, more than 20,000 Americans were killed by fentanyl in 2016. In 2017, they took out of the stream 1.5 million pill dosages. Which, that's a lot. I mean, you know, that took it right off the street. Let me see. They had a bunch of 2,600 bags of heroin, 3,005 bags of fentanyl, 700 bags of cocaine. They also seized bulk quantities of narcotics, including more than a kilo of cocaine, more than a quarter pound of fentanyl, and more than 3 ounces of heroin, as well as $89,000 in cash. This is just one area of New York that they took all this stuff from. It's amazing if you go through this article on what they did just in New York, taking all these.
But where does that stuff go?
It's all destroyed. It's all destroyed. ICE, I mean, ICE is home. They don't fool around. They destroy it. It's taken off the street and destroy it. I think ICE does more than people think. And most people think that ICE, and I don't know if we talked about this or if I talked about it on my show, because we did a show on this one time and we had an agent on. Most people think that ICE is the branch that separates the families at the border and sends that's the border patrol that does that. And they had a border patrol agent on and an ICE agent on at night. And the head of the ICE department said, if people knew what they did, then you could make a case for getting rid of, ICE. But they don't know what the Border Patrol does, and they don't know what the ICE agency does. And
I mean, I still don't. You know how I feel about drugs and the forfeiture and
right.
all that.
Like, no, I understand.
I still don't believe that. I find it hard to wrap around my head that they're just destroying these things and then not just putting it back out on the streets. Because, I mean, we've seen it before where we didn't think government was doing that, and then they do anyway. It comes out years later. So, I mean, how are we to really know if they're destroying it or not? I mean, we can't know for truth. So, I mean, that's just, you know how I feel. I don't believe anything they say. But I understand your take on it. And we can agree to disagree on that.
Oh, God, of course. Of course. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, we can talk and each have our own opinion. But I think that the amount of, I mean, if you look at it with the idea that maybe, I can see maybe the Drug Enforcement Agency doing it. But I mean, they're getting it from like MS-13 groups. I mean, I forgot how many arrests they made from just that group. And just assume for a minute that ICE isn't the agency putting the drugs back in. It might be the CIA or the DEA. And I mean, I think they're doing a great job myself. I mean, of course, they deal with illegals, but it's more felony crimes and drug crimes to get them out of the country. But
yeah, I'm okay with them taking like violent criminals, but you know, I'm not okay with them taking like drug crimes, stuff like that. Yeah, go ahead, take the people that are being violent, that are killing people, that are hurting people. They should be, but this whole war on drugs things we've talked about, it's I don't like the authoritarianness of it. It's something, ICE is something that comes out of an authoritarian state, and I have a real big problem with that. And so I don't agree with it, but I do agree with them taking violent criminals.
That's
I can
right.
agree with that
See?
Part.
So that's part of it. That's good.
That's.
But if you eliminate them, who's going to be there to do it then?
Right. So I think we got a few more minutes here, and then we're going to wrap it up. So next week, we will continue talking about this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Democratic Socialist.
We'll find out more about her.
We'll find out more about her. We only talked about 3 of the, like, 10,000 things on her platform here.
You know what I'd like your take on next week, too, is the Supreme Court judge opening that
is going to be filled.
You know, I think the president said today that he's done interviewing, and Monday he's supposed to announce who he's going to have. And, you know, I kind of would like your take on what's going on, because there's people already saying that the justice he picks is going to be...
It's going to ruin us.
Intolerant.
Right, yeah.
It's going to ruin us. And they said if he picks this one lady who's supposed to be one of the top judges in the country as far as decisions that she's written and that, but she's Catholic. So if he picks her, then he's going to destroy the country. And they don't even know who he's going to pick, and they're already knocking things. But, I'd like for your angle on that. Maybe
Definitely.
We can research a little on that and talk about it.
Awesome. So next week we'll finish this girl, this loony bin over here, and then we can move on to the loony bins talking about the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and we'll know who he has picked at that point.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It's a really good idea. So pictures to follow of the Dreamcatcher.
Oh,
I'll be posting.
Neat.
I think I posted a few. But they were in like a whole bunch of pictures from the wedding or whatever, but I'll post some separate pictures of just the Dreamcatcher. And, so I had an idea I forgot to tell you, I went to the farmer's market a few weeks ago in Saratoga. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
It was great. Loved it. So I've been thinking about making Dreamcatchers and, going to an arts and craft fair or going to farmer's markets and, selling Dreamcatchers.
That would
I don't know
be
if
great.
You can sell Dreamcatchers at a farmer's market.
Yes, you can. I don't see why not.
But I've been thinking about making like small ones, not the big one that I made.
Right,
that was
right.
huge. But just making small Dreamcatchers.
And make sure you get all soft stones so you can drill through them.
Oh, I'm not sure that I'm going to be putting stones into them.
Oh, really?
Maybe like I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But yeah, they'd have to be soft.
If you do, don't get the hard ones, because you'll be...
Hour of peace. That was.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you all for listening and have a great weekend.
Yeah. Everybody enjoy it. And the weather is supposed to be fantastic all week. So
can't wait.
I know. All right.